What's up, man? How are you?
Hey, you're the wrong Adam.
I know. I'm okay. I'm not the same Adam, but I'm a pretty good Adam. Shane, I got to ask you one thing because I have this weird itch here. Not that kind of weird itch. That sounded really weird.
They make medicine for that.
I know. I'm good. I'm all good, man. I'm generally the one pushing all the buttons, and there's generally a big red button in the top red corner that says live. Do you have that? Okay, now it says the stream is live. Here we go.
Yeah. We are good.
We are good. All right, because I didn't see it on mine, and I was like, man, I'm not getting through 20 minutes of this and then being like, oops, we got to start over.
Well, I did mess up a little bit on the intro, but, you know, Beach Bum Adam, I think he'll forgive me. So
he says I'm the proper Adam. I like it. That's all right. There's something to that guy. He's all right, man.
In Jay's infinite wisdom, thank you, Jay, for doing all the technical wizardry behind all the animations and stuff. But, you know, he has a countdown. So that gave me 5 seconds to figure out how to get it playing and get the live going. And then by the time I went live, it was like to the actual intro. And I was like, all right, well, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but that's so you can fumble around. If there's a half second of lag, no big deal. We're good. We're here now. And nobody can accuse us of, pre-taping and mailing it in.
Right. Hey, so I was going to thank you. Thank you for filling in for Adam from Beach Bum. So I got an Adam for an Adam. Kind of a little corny joke, but I'm into dad jokes. And what other Adam is there to host a live other than Adam proper Adam?
I think you're just really into Adams. I think you have a weird Adam thing. It's my pleasure to be here. Thanks for trusting me with this. You had talked to me before this rolled out, before this was totally public, that you were going to be the one doing this and that this was going to be revived. And you were like, we hang out fairly often, so I could tell, like, you were genuinely like, there was joy in your voice, and it was kind of a bit of an awe because of the whole full circle story that I'm sure you've told a little bit. So I'm happy for you, and then for you guys to trust me is really cool. And also, shout out to Adam at Beach Bum Exotics. I had never talked to Adam before, and we've not met, and he was very kind and gracious, sent me a pretty cool note this week. And it was, you know, private conversations, but it was a cool gesture. And he's going to be on the show and, on the Tuesday night show one of these nights before too long, hopefully as well. I'm sure he's good for it. I've actually gotten on the ball and scheduled all the way out, I think, through June, man. Like, I'm abnormally well prepped for scheduling, which is usually my nightmare.
Yeah, but when you're old like us, June is tomorrow. I mean, like, it's just here, you know?
Look, man, I just take it day by day. And because these Tuesdays are relentless, man, there's always another Tuesday right around the corner. You get through one and it's like, what are you going to do next week? And so, like, I finally just got annoyed at that feeling, and I booked like 9 people in a row, which was good. It's what I need to do.
Well, Beach Bum Adam, in his infinite wisdom, has us doing a guest every other week and then an off week, which you're filling in the off week, which now that I'm like a podcaster, I guess, I'm really glad, like, we stayed with his plan on that, because I couldn't imagine trying to hustle a guest every single week and trying to get someone different that wasn't just on another show. And, man, I'd be stressed out. I'd go bald.
Well, I don't know if you noticed, lately I've been letting mine rip up top a little bit there. The camera does nice things in person. It's a little scraggly, but I'm like, you know what? I'm going to enjoy it while I got it, you know? But back to, the podcast world right now is really, it seems like it's at a saturation point. And that's cool. I genuinely don't have a problem. Anybody wants to go podcast, start a podcast, get in the game, see what it takes to do. It's a challenge. And if you're good at it, great. You'll succeed. And if you're not, you'll have an appreciation for how difficult it is. My only gripe is that I work to get guests And I can't get guests now because they're doing three other podcasts where, like, at least 3 years ago, I was just doing the grind and working and I could get guests that hadn't been on just another show. And I fully understand the irony right now because I didn't realize until today that your next guest is Herpin Harbins, who are on my show on Tuesday. Anyway, that's my only gripe right now is that there's only so many people in our hobby and industry that are interesting and make for good guests. So you got to, that's the challenge right now, standing out, you know?
Well, I'm already going to break the mold here.
Okay. It's
typically announced at the end of this episode.
Oh, shoot. I didn't know that.
But the Herpin Harbins are on this show next week. But it's all right. I've already analyzed your episode with them and had my chatbot do it too. So I'm going to be hitting different angles. So, I mean, there's plenty to talk about.
I'm sorry. I stroll in like I own the place. I just knock the beans everywhere. I'm just like, yeah, how about this? Boom. There you go. What next topic? What are we doing here?
No, sorry, it's all right, man. It's all right. You know, I'll get a scolding from Beach Bum Adam, you know, it's all right.
That's what guests are good for. You could blame it on me. And then now the only bad part is that I've already laid out the invite to Adam. So now he can be cooking up like, oh yeah, got notes here, Adam. Permanent record on old Proper Royals record here.
So we'll let me do that real quick. So next week we will have Josh and Alicia from the Herpin Harbins on Reptiles Unplugged. We'll be talking about a bunch of different stuff. I know them in real life and stuff too. So we'll hit a bunch of different angles and it'll be a good time. They're always, to me, they're someone everyone should be trying to emulate in the industry. That's my take on it.
I agree. And they're wonderful people to boot on top of it as well, man. And you guys can watch the show from Tuesday. I really think extremely highly of them, and I'm always happy when I get to hang out with them.
Yes, yes. It's always a good time. They're fun.
Yeah.
Fun people. And while we're doing all the Love Fest and everything, I want to give a shout-out of the week. And this is a sleeper shout-out. So Michael Graham from Blackheart Exotics up in Canada. So I message with him on rare occasions, and the last time I was messaging with him, he was set up at a pet expo as the only ball python breeder trying to convert mammal type pet owners into reptile industry and bring people in the fold one at a time. Like, big, huge shout out to that guy. And he's a cool guy anyways, works all kinds of cool projects and everything. But like, he's out there knocking on doors, bringing in people, you know, like
that's grinding, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For the betterment of us all. So shout out to Michael Graham.
Highly Canadian. That is a Canadian trait behavior right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very selfless act for the benefit of everyone else. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Go ahead.
Well, if we're going to do some shout outs, it just fits. I got to give a really special shout out to Paul at Large Marge Morphs. And to Jamie at Graceful Pythons. We had an impromptu little fundraiser for Dr. Tom Harbin's scholarship fund on Tuesday night. And I thought we'd, you know, trickle in tens and twenties. And it's not all about money, but let's be honest, if you're getting fund is in the name. You need funds to have a fund. And they brought the funds, and I am thankful for them. They exceeded my wildest expectations. They cost me a little more than I thought I was going to spend when I said I would match the YouTube fees, that I would cover the YouTube fees so that all the cash donated made it to the right spot. So good job on them. And I didn't announce it. They just came in and plopped it down. It was great.
Yeah, yeah. Big shout out to them, and I'm sure we'll be talking about that next week too, the same endowment fund. So
yeah. So what's been going on with you, man?
So I went to Nashville, AARPE.
Yeah.
First one under that show banner. Of course, anything with the All-American crew, it's top-notch.
I was going to say, so you've heard the hype. Now, wait, but you'd vended Charlotte, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I've worked with them on two other occasions. I've done Charlotte twice. Highly impressed with their operation. everything to do with them. I mean, it's white glove treatment. Yeah. They care about the vendors.
Right.
And I say that every time I bring them up, that you're not just cattle. You're not just a table number and an entry fee. I mean, they care about you. They go above and beyond. But the Nashville location, I have high hopes for that show.
Okay.
And here's why. Because there was already a exotic pet show in that building, the people were already used to coming there.
Yeah.
People that I didn't know, who didn't know me, were talking to me. And I was hearing things like, wow, this is a lot nicer than the last time I was here. There's so many pretty reptiles. I didn't know, you guys did it like this. And then so I was educating them like, well, this is actually a new promoter. Mm-hmm. People liked a lot of the plants that were there and stuff. People knew what ball pythons were, there was levels of education in what we do that they all met. So it was cool. And I have high hopes for that show going forward.
Good. Good. Did you, okay. So going forward is one thing. How was did you find it beneficial? That's a bit of a hometown show. So, I mean, you really want that to be, I mean, the hometown show is the best, the lowest overhead and the customers you could follow up with. If I go to Tinley, it's hard for me to follow up the customers other than an email. Like I can't deliver them a snake in Tinley. I can mail it to them, but I can't just like I can locally here or deliver ASFs to them weekly or whatever. I can't do that. But in Knoxville is kind of a local show for you. Not Knoxville, Nashville, local or show. What's it, 2 hours from Knoxville?
Yeah, it's about 2.5.
Okay.
And I don't have a hotel fee over there. I have a sister over there. So there was a whole family time and everything associated with that event, which was really cool. Icing on the cake. So I did not lose money. I've had after sales and stuff too from that event, which is cool. I'm still kind of low on inventory.
Yeah.
I will say any show that I've been to, if I have other species on the table, hognose in particular, that's my main other species. It does draw more attention than if you're a ball python only table.
Yeah.
And that's not just Nashville. That's like other places too. So,
oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that, which I didn't have. I was ball pythons only at this show.
And, oh really? You didn't have any hognose even at this one.
Now I'm sold out.
Ah, I thought you had a couple. Okay.
No. The ones that are left are hold back. So,
but you sold some ball pythons then.
Yeah. I sold a couple ball pythons. I've had an after sell and stuff too. The weekend was made. The next show is for sure next spring, but they may have one towards winter. I'll be loaded towards the end of the year I'll have three different species on the table at that point. Because I am now a king snake breeder too.
Oh, really? Woo! Okay. Nice.
Yeah, I had one clutch of MBKs, so now I'm a king snake breeder,
Congratulations, man. I am just the lowly ball python breeder, like everyone else in the world, right here. Just me. Just one species.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, there's a lot to be said for focusing on one too. It is hard kind of bouncing. It takes a certain bandwidth. Once I hit three, because I used to do leopard geckos with the boys too. Three is my max at one time. The slight scheduling differences and stuff.
Yeah.
That's what it is. That's what makes it hard. Not the number. It's just the weird little schedules. But so great show in Nashville. I have high hopes. The plant vendors, I was under my plant budget at that show, so I did good there on my spending.
Okay. All right. Nice. How was any action? So they do a VIP on Friday afternoon in other places. Did they do one in Nashville or not?
Yeah. And still to this date, for me personally, they did do a VIP. Yes. There were some people there. It wasn't super crowded or anything on VIP Friday. I have never in the history of time ever sold anything on any VIP hour. I don't care if it was Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. Right. I have never sold anything on VIP, but yet I rushed to get there and be set up and on the clock. Cause I always think, this could be the time.
Right. But you kind of have to because yeah. So I had two thoughts. One being like, all right, let the promoter make their money on the extra VIP money. And I'm going to sleep in an extra hour. Everybody wins and nobody bought a snake from me anyway. So it's fine. But then there's the other part of it that we always talk about. Like, what are you doing that you can control? Okay. You're showing up, you're being there, you're being ready, you're meeting people, you're engaging. Yeah. I'm not wired to just be like, ah, screw it. I'll skip that part of it. I'm not wired that way.
Yeah. And I'm wired to in a point to answer Adam's question. Well, it's four species I've bred total, Adam, but three species I'm currently breeding. I'm wired that like if VIP like that on Friday, it started at 4, I should be ready by 3.
Because that's right.
I need to net. Yeah, yeah. In case there's a snafu with something, I have time to like fix it. I need to network with my people, all my peers, you know, all that stuff too.
Yep.
You know. Yeah. So
one of my things that sticks out, one of the hardest corporate ass kickings I ever got was I was an entry level manager. I was opening my Ruby Tuesday and the regional manager comes in and it's like 11:10. We open at 11 o'clock. He comes in at 11:10, you know, 40 seconds in, he's like, why aren't you open? And I'm like, dude, you just walked in the front door. I'm open. And he proceeded to go through like a list of like 10 things, like your salad bar isn't fully stocked. That table's not set. The mirrors in the bathrooms haven't been done and your threshold hasn't been polished. He goes, being open is more than just having your doors unlocked. And man, I think I was 22. That is 23 years ago and it sticks with me. And that still, when I'm setting up at shows, I'm like, I've got to get open. I got to be open on time. It's laser focused until I'm open.
Yeah. 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 I mean, those are the lessons we learn in our youth though. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it was a good lesson. I remember being like, oh, at the time I didn't like it. I was like, oh, well, good morning to you too, pal. But in retrospect, I have laid that on many an entry-level manager in my day. Let me tell you, that one stuck.
Yeah. Well, it's true. And I was programmed that way too by my grandpa. Like if you're not early or late and like, you be ready with your boots on and, you know, you could apply that analogy to any aspect of your life. But like I said, that still applies to me to this day. And here I am older than my grandpa was when he told me that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But I also like too, the reptile world is so full of opportunity. And part of it is because you can look around the room at opening time and there's nothing but opportunity because most people aren't open. They aren't. And the customers could see that. The customer, they might not think to themselves, oh, this person isn't open, but they're not engaged with the customer because they're still trying to polish their snakes or still trying to clean poo or still eating breakfast when you're there ready to sell. So it might not work with the VIP, but I love the idea in reptiles. Like it's not that hard to be above average in our world, which is a really great opportunity.
Yeah. 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 No, I agree. Show up. Be consistent. That's two right there.
Yeah. Man,
you got half the competition beat right there.
Just there it is. And this is, it's really rewarding. Honestly, it's few things in life are that simple that actually pay off. And it does. So I'm with you, man. I'll do the VIP stuff. And I can't say I've never sold a snake. I have, I've sold in VIP hours, but I've actually never vended an AARP show. I've been to a bunch of them, but I've never vended one. they're too far. I can't vend solo and drive to Denver or Nashville. It just doesn't work for me.
Yeah. I may be going out to the Denver one, the one later on this year, just as an attendee, socializing, filming, that kind of stuff. I'll be going as like a social media guy instead of a reptile vendor. Cause I don't know about you, but I can't do both.
No. I got the two buckets. Yeah. If I'm vending, if I'm doing this stuff, media, that's a whole different story. So, but yeah, I'll be there in September with Redline. So come hang out, man.
Yeah. 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 I'm trying to make it happen. I think it will happen.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So what's, oh, you know what? I got some great news, man. This is like personal, all me. I'm going to brag on myself.
Do it.
All right. Everyone knows I love genetic stripe clowns. I've had the opportunities to pair for them since 2023, but instead I took the long road. I made like visual genetic stripes that were double het G stripe clown and stuff like that. More building blocks. I'm building this giant army. Mind you, I started this project with a clown and a genetic stripe in 2020.
Good for you, man.
As far as like from the ground up, you know? Yeah. And I finally hit my first double visual. Four clutches in that project this year, and I finally hit one.
Ooh. Congratulations, man. Did you get any combo codoms in there? Straight G-stripe and G-stripe clown? What do you got?
Dude, there's cinnamon in the mom. Okay, the male I thought was taking the clutch was a red stripe, yellow belly, hurricane, triple het, G-stripe clown, DG.
Okay.
Okay, before he was ready, I paired that girl one time to a genetic stripe, double het, DG clown. All I'm seeing in that clutch for codoms or incomplete dominance is cinnamon. And I'm like, I think that the backup male took the clutch.
But he got in first. He was open. He got in first. He was ready when the customer came and he delivered the goods, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, so up until this point, I did hit a hurricane red stripe clown that's like pos hets for, you know, other things. That was one. I hit a genetic stripe out of another clutch. Other than that, all I've hit's normals. So wow. I knew in my head, like the odds are going to even out in this clutch.
Right.
It was due while I was at vending Nashville. I'm like, oh man, I got to get home and cut this clutch. I don't care if they pipped or not. I'm cutting. I pull in the garage, grab the animals, take them into the snake room, set them down, get the clutch, start cutting, man. And I'm like, dang, first one, normal. And I'm like, oh my God, don't tell me this again. And then I'm like, oh, clown. Oh, G-stripe clown. G-stripe, G-stripe, G-stripe.
Wow.
And I was like, see, the odds came back on that one clutch to make up for only hitting two visuals in the other three.
There's always the regression back to the mean. You can have positive regression and negative regression, but it always comes back to the mean. That's why odds are the odds.
Yeah.
Beach
Bum's over here laughing at me. But, you know, maybe she wouldn't have went if I didn't give her that first pairing.
That's right. Maybe the other one wasn't ready.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that's what it was, is I had one male ready. And yep. I was like, well, the main one isn't, so I'll put in the backup male, prime her up, get her building, which that worked. And his boys can swim, I guess, because they stayed there.
Did that a good little home, a good little farm that she made, you know, and they hung out.
Yeah, yeah. So I finally hit one. I'm over the moon. It's the most excited I've been about a clutch in a long time.
Well, congratulations. Where do you land on the nickname for G-stripe clowns?
I call them G-stripe clowns. And then I'll type it G clown sometimes just because I'm lazy.
But she's okay. So are you like even against even saying the word like this, this Kiki ball name?
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't particularly, I'm not fond of it, I should say. I'm never going to say nothing bad about it because, I mean, it's named after the guy's daughter.
That's true.
Just like the nanny gene was named after the guy's grandma. I mean, there's like, you know, a sentimental aspect to it. Do I think either one of those projects were named appropriately? Probably not, but...
The reason I ask is not a shot at the name or his daughter. I'm glad you brought that up, actually. A couple of my buddies in Florida that worked the G-stripe clown. He won't say it. G-stripe clown project. They would just be like, refuse to speak the words Kiki ball. They're like, they've worked too hard at it to be called that name. It's a G-stripe clown. And so now anybody that's ever working that, I always ask them, I'm like, so, What's the other thing you call it? What do you say?
I mean, I mean, it is what it is. But, you know, it's an amazing looking snake. I think it's a great foundation as a base to work off of.
They so. Seem well, and G-stripe in general, I find hard to identify. And the G-stripe clowns seem very challenging for me to see. I'm saying just for me to see other genetics in. So it would drive me nuts a little bit. Plus I had some big misses on G-stripes early on, man. And I divested, I sold them. I was like, I'm out, but I got one clutch this year. And I did it the old fashioned way. I didn't test it because I wasn't going to change the pairing either way. So I was like, well, screw it. We'll find out. So I've got a super blackhead 66% het G stripe going to a visual banana G stripe girl. So
all right,
I should have all blackhead bananas. And if any of them are G stripe, then I'll prove the male. And if not, I'll probably sell each and every one of them and the parents.
Yeah, you know, I used to have a super blackhead female, and like any of the non holdback stuff, that stuff sold great in the pet trade. Mm. Like I would sell those. Those were the things I would sell at Tinley, and they'd make my show.
That's kind of what I figured. I mean, I don't know if it would make my show at Tinley nowadays, but it is kind of what I figured. It's a female banana, so they're all going to either be females or female makers. They'll all be het G stripe, and even if this guy doesn't prove, they'll all be blackheads too. They won't be all bananas. Right. They'll be half bananas, excuse me, but all blackheads. So I was like, you know, let's put these together. And there's a bit of a, I hate to admit it, but there's a happy ending. The male, it's the only time I've ever had this happen. And it's probably because I stopped allowing it to happen, but a hopper ASF tore that male up when he was a hatchling. And I'm talking like, looked like Swiss cheese, man, chunks missing. I was so mad at myself. I was mad. I was sad for the snake. I put Neosporin on that little snake every other day. And the in-between days I put peroxide on him, and he healed and he lived, and he looks to this day, he looks mangled. And I was like, I can't, you gotta do work, man. You gotta have a chance to carry on. You fought this hard and this far. So I kept one G stripe female to pair with that super blackhead boy.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's a soldier right there.
That is a soldier. I don't know. I can't sell him. I guess if the right person wanted him, I wouldn't sell him. I would just give him away. But I'm like, no. That is a soldier. That's a success story. And I screwed up and I learned from it. And he's still here. I'm like, nah, this guy has a purpose. I can always use super blackhead, right? I don't know. I'll figure it out.
Yeah, super blackheads are great. I got a quick question, though. How many sheds did it take for him to heal?
Oh, a lot. I mean,
all right.
He had, I mean, I don't know. I can show him if you want. To this day, he's got, he's just nasty, gnarly scars all over him, man. I feel bad for him, but he does great. He eats frozen thawed. He's fine, man. He's great now. But yeah, he's definitely not a showpiece, man. He's not a looker. That's for sure.
Well, the reason why I ask is I had a reel where it showcased a male hognose that got half eaten by the female.
Right.
He had gouges all on him, and one gouge was pretty gnarly. I was beta dining him and stuff, and then he started to get a little bit of scale rot because he went in his water bowl when I beta dined him. Yeah. So I had to like pull his water bowl and give him water every day, whatever. So anyways, I was beta dining him and stuff for weeks and weeks. He just had his first shed since the incident. One that deep gouge is now one little piece of scale. Like there's a scale missing right there. You can't even tell he was ever chewed up.
Oh, like, no, this one was a long time, man. And it's the only time I've ever seen it. I can't believe he was alive. Like, say, when I say he looked like he had like valleys, like ditches on him, man. Like almost like a filleted fish, you know. I don't know how he's alive, but he is, and he's great now. And that was like his first meal that happened to him on.
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
Yeah.
A hopper ASF too.
I couldn't believe it, man. And so now I'm just like, you got about 3 minutes. You either get that thing or I'm pulling it. That's it. You know, eat it or don't. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, those are the ones you kind of think are harmless, but obviously they're not.
It's just one thing that you're just so mad at yourself about. Like, you hear of it and you don't really think of it. And like you say, you're like, the hoppers are harmless. And then when I saw it, I was just like, I just sick to my stomach, you know? I'm like, part of, like, I felt like I was like the bad part of the reptile industry that day, you know? I'm like, I don't want to, this is creepy. I don't want to be this. I don't want to be part of that.
So, well, that's a good segue into the next topic. So okay. I had a stomach feeling too. I'm going to tell you a little story.
Okay.
Customer of mine.
Oh yeah.
Messaged me, wanted a snake. This all stems from the Nashville show. He wanted a snake from the, you know, whatever.
It's this. So this is an after or a potential after sale situation.
Yes, this is a potential after sale that stems from the Nashville show. Yeah. He messages me, "Hey, I want to buy this snake." I tell him, "Hey, let's just do it direct. I'm going to save you some money on shipping. Here's a link to pay at." Instead of clicking on the link, he went to Cash App, typed in "Small Town Exotics" with an E, sent the money there. Apparently, there's two other Small Town Exotics on Cash App. They both have an E. I'm the only one with just the X, like it's spelled right. And sent the money to one of the Small Town Exotics on there. That person withdrew the money and closed down their Cash App account. So, money's gone. There's some lessons to be learned here.
I would say I'm
going to give one and you could give one. Let's parlay this back and forth a little
okay.
bit.
Okay. All right.
All right. My first thing is, if somebody, if you're going to buy a snake from somebody and they send you a link to pay at, I would recommend clicking on that link and paying through there, because you got it directly from the person you're buying the snake from. That would be my first recommendation. Learning experience here.
Yeah. I would say, as a seller, I'm going to go from the seller angle rather than the buyer's angle. I could be a little bit more patient when people ask me questions about payments. I'm like, I've sent you the email, I've given you the QR code, just send the money. And, now I see that they should be a little, you know, it's okay for them to ask. From a buyer, I know we were going to bounce this back and forth, but from the buyer standpoint, yeah, Jacob brings up a good idea. Send a test dollar. I admit I'm not good about that. But I never think, like, how much effort did it take for that person, not the buyer, for the con artist to steal your name, wait patiently for who knows how many years. I don't know if we're saying the amount, but for this little amount to trickle in and then spring into action to take your money and close their account. Like, who does that?
I laugh. It wasn't a tremendous amount of money. It was under $500. I mean, like about half of $500, somewhere in that range. So it wasn't, you know, nobody's not paying their mortgage or none of that. And I laugh just because I laugh at misfortune. You know, there's a misfortune on me here too. But I was thinking the same thing as you, Adam. Like, they've lied in wait. This is like a viper waiting in the brush for months, waiting for something to walk by to get it, you know? It's like, man, they sprung into action, withdrew the cash, closed down their account.
Yeah. Like, that's a lot of work for very little return relative. And in the same breath, I want to highlight, I never would take for granted somebody's 200 or 500, whatever amount of money it is. I know how hard in my life I've had hard days that I've had to work extremely hard to make that amount of money. And so I never take that for granted. But for the other person, like, that was they had to cook this idea up, decide who they're going to steal names from, and then just hope that somebody doesn't follow your link. Like, what a dumb way to go through life. Like, and now even the funnier part is that they're like, man, I got that money. Like, what? Just go wash dishes or something for like, you can make the money so much faster and easier and be a better person for it.
Well, the customer who that happened to.
I was going to say, how did this play out?
So he's contacted law enforcement, and there's things at play here. So we'll see how it transpires over time.
Oh, that's a whole different.
There's no animosity between me and him. So I just want to put that out there. Neither one of us are blaming the other one or none of that stuff. And the deal is still valid and all that stuff. So that's good. And he's pursuing legal action.
Yeah.
So we'll see how this plays out.
I hope it plays out well for him. I've got a feeling that the other person's going to go, I don't know anything about this. This person sent me money and hey, I went and had some margaritas or whatever, you know, I don't know, whatever they do with their stolen money. Right. I hope it goes well, but man. Yeah. All right. Well, so then what does it shape your communicate? You're going to now, when you send the link, you're going to be, cause like, does it play into like the conspiracy theories? If you're like, no, only use this link. Like, does that raise even redder flags with the person? They're like, well, I don't know if this guy's legit. Now he's giving me lectures that I can't pay any other way than this link. Or am I overthinking stuff now?
No, I've thought about that too. Cause like a scammer will want you to click that specific link. You
right.
Know? And
right.
I've thought about it too. And you know, and I've said it a lot. I don't say it every time though. Like there's no E in exotics. Make sure autocorrect doesn't fix it.
Yeah.
Da, da, da. But I mean, I don't know. I get lazy with that sometimes too, you know?
Well, yeah. So my personal email address is my two names with the letter R in the middle. And that's my PayPal address. So if anybody wants to send some money, there you go. You can. But I always tell people, I'm like, make sure that R is in the middle of my two names, because if not, you're going to ship money to this dude in Charlotte. And he seems like a good guy, but there's only so many times you can send him money that he's not going to be like, well, you know what? Today's the day. So I've never actually had it happen. But I do tell people that. I guess I always play it kind of really cool of like, hey, whatever payment platform works, I just want you to be able to send your money over. So you tell me what works for you and I'll send you the QR code or the link or the email address or whatever it is, you know? And I guess at the end, that just comes down to relationships of how you talk to the people, I guess, man, what a bad situation though.
That's how the conversation went, you know, is like, how do you want your payment? And I'm like, you know, we could do Zelle, Cash App, blah, blah, blah. I can invoice you through Square. However, oh, let's do Cash App. Okay. Boom. Here's the link.
Yeah.
That was where the fatal error was right there. So, I seen people comment and I've had people do it to me too, where they send a test dollar.
Yeah.
That's a good way too, to just verify right there.
Yeah,
like usually I'm spending money usually with a certain group of people that I've already spent money with. So I just go off a previous transaction.
Yeah, you just fire it off. Yeah.
Yeah, and just fire it off. So I haven't typed in a new name in a while. So, but I have received the dollar and then verified with the people and all that. So that's a way around that too. And I don't know much else what you can do as a buyer to make sure that doesn't happen. Because you can't hold the seller responsible for you sending the money to the wrong place.
No, not at all. But you can. I mean, I used to listen to this money guy, Clark Howard, a lot. Like I learned a lot from Clark Howard, man. I like this guy. He's a he's not a CPA, but he runs a money, like basically a podcast or radio shows. But one of his things that he advocates is just always use a credit card. That's where your buyer protection is going to come from. Tie your payment apps to a credit card, not a debit card. So, because in this case, that buyer could easily go, done, give me my money back, call the credit card company. This was fraud. I've tried to get it back from this person. I am not paying this charge. I contest it immediately. And here's why. And they would have their money back. Now, everybody's at different levels of banking and different levels of comfortability. And yeah, there's a cost to it. Sometimes you got to pay the seller the credit card fee or pay the transaction fees, but you are protected with credit cards.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll agree with you there. have it tied into that. So, you know, I mean, that's how like I rent cars and pay for plane tickets and stuff like that too. I pay them off immediately on the next billing cycle. But, you know, now we're getting into finances. Like, don't overwhelm yourself with debt and blah, blah, you know, but that's why I'm like, you pay them off on the next billing cycle. It's not like you're spending money you don't have, but there's a layer of protection there.
Yep.
That the credit card company offers. So
exactly. And that's a perfect example of it, especially in the these digital financial apps, they're great. They facilitate so many things. I mean, we probably literally couldn't be in business if those didn't exist. You know, 20 years ago, I couldn't be in business with checks in the mail and all that stuff, you know. But it's so fast and loose, man. It's so, tell me where to send it, I'll fire it over to you. And like we see here, especially Cash App and Venmo, like the once the money's there, it's there, man. That's about it. I think Venmo has a few more opportunities, but Cash App is literally, it's cash, man.
So you know what I did right away too? And I had a bad feeling. So the guy sent me the screenshot right away, paid. I'm like, whoa, that's not me. Contact him through Cash App. And then I immediately looked at that name that he sent it to. And then I sent a payment request to them and said, my customer sent this to you by accident. Oh,
nice work. Okay. I mean,
they declined the payment request right away. And I'm like,
Yeah.
Like they're active because it was declined really quick.
Man. Yeah. Adam put in the comments earlier, if the scammers just put a little bit of effort into doing good rather than scamming people, yeah, they'd be rich. Like, I can't call it brilliant because it's evil. I don't believe in evil brilliance, but like, just do that for good. Find a way to do that kind of effort for good, man. That's ridiculous, you know?
Yeah. And you know, I mean, I try to assume everyone means the best, but that's not always the case, man.
There's bad
people out there.
Yep. There are going to be bad players. One thought I had earlier. Yeah. It sounds defeatist or fatalistic, and maybe it is, but like, I always worry this, like it goes through my head, like is somebody that's asking me for all these pictures on a snake and they're asking me dumb questions. Are they just playing middleman? Is there somebody that they're trying to sell a not snake to using my pictures, and they're asking me the questions that this person is asking and hoping I can respond fast enough? And I just had to say to myself, you know what? People's evil actions on their end, that's on them, man. I can't control the world. I can't control everybody in life and what they do. If anybody ever wants to know whether it's me or not, I'll FaceTime you. I'll do a video. I'll send you. You could tell me to hold three spoons in the picture. I don't care, whatever it is, but just do your due diligence. I can't control, you know, people are like, oh, you could watermark all your pictures, man. I could do all kinds of things, but it takes up half my life, man. I'm not the evil guy here. And I just had to finally just be okay with that. It used to drive me crazy.
Right. Right. No, I agree. I used to do the watermarking and stuff too. And I mean, and like you said, you only have so much time.
Yeah.
And kind of circling back to where we're at in the beginning of this too, I offer multiple ways to accept payments. So that way the customer feels comfortable with whatever avenue they're comfortable with. And, you know, as a buyer though, you got to be smart and protect yourself. So I guess that's what we're trying to get to here.
Yeah. Yeah. How did, or maybe you don't want to share, can you share anything more of where you left it with the buyer? You said something about the deal was still good, but obviously you got to get paid.
Yeah. 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 He's going to pay through a different avenue, and you know, he's still getting the snake.
Oh, wow.
We're going to use a different thing. And, he's still going to pursue legal action against the scammer.
Well, so the buyer sounds like a good dude. I got to say, like to still go through, I would be so pissed at the whole situation. I'd be like, man, I'm not dealing with this anymore. I would just move on, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, it's unfortunate.
Right.
It's
not on you. I'm not saying that. That is.
I mean, like,
it's just frustrating, man. Right? It's frustrating to be associated with. Right.
Yeah. Like all the things I could do in my life, I can't fix that problem. That one little problem right there. Like that's like so out of my hands.
I'm yeah.
Like,
it's not yours. Yeah. It's not yours. That sucks, man. Let's see. Adam asked me, what morph do I work the most with? I'm a nut for super gravel projects. So super gravel, anything I can put it in. I literally bought that rack back there just to be my super gravel, like hatchlings and holdbacks. I don't have nearly that many yet, but they are coming. And I hit my first gravel clowns this year, and I will have an opportunity later this season to hit my first super gravel clowns. I've already, you know, Shane, you talked about taking the long road on your G-stripe and clown project. I'm already preparing for future super gravel Ultramel clowns. So they're getting the, you know, it's so nice breeding supers because you know what the outcome is going to be and you know what the path is going to be. You don't need the odds as much. Right. So, the reason Adam asked, sorry for the audio folks, is there a reason I went gravel over asphalt? Yeah, it just happened to be what I got. There's a breeder in Florida that I work closely with that produces a ton of super gravels. And it was one of the snakes that I just, you know, you kind of get used to looking at snakes and, it was one of the morphs that are the combos, however we want to call it, that I looked at. And I'm just like, that is incredibly different. And then I started looking in the morph market, what was out there. And there really wasn't much out there. Some of the very first super gravel clowns had just been created like 2-3 years ago, or at least that were hitting the market. Very few Azanthics, very few Ultramels. I don't think any in candy, lavender, rainbow kind of projects. I work all of those with clown. So it was like the thing that could unify my madness of all these different genes. I was like, all right, I'm going to go the John Day grout. I can work Ultramel. I can work all these different combos, but they're going to be super gravel related, just like he does with Azanthic. I was like, that's it. That's what I'll do. I'll be the super gravel guy. So there it is.
I like it. I like it. I think super gravel, super asphalt, super stripe, you know, the yellow belly specter little thing. I think all of those should be worked more. You know, they were all hot for a minute at one point in time. And then, you know, we're all a bunch of squirrels and go on to the next shiny thing. And nobody ever perfected those.
I think nobody treat. I'll tell you what I really think happened is, and this was something that Will Moreau's brought up before as well. Everybody overlooked the supers, but genetically they're the very same thing as recessives. So everybody went on this crazy recessive binge and left the value of supers in the dust, and it left this like gap in projects that can be worked. And if somebody was paying attention to it, there's a wide gap of opportunity with supers. And then of course, like I say, they're just powerful. They're powerful breeders for the outcome. Yeah. I've got puzzle stuff too. Like eventually it'll all be under they'll all go to super gravel. I probably won't put my super gravel clown to the puzzle, but I'll put my, I'll definitely put a super gravel combo into puzzle and see what's going on with it. And I mean, we've all heard people that say yellow belly everything. I mean, gravel looks great on top of a lot, man. It's a cool gene. So that's my thing.
Yeah, man. I have gravel GHI gravel Kryptons and stuff over here. So I'm graveling. I'm just.
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah, man. I got a lot of stuff hidden away, you know.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I am I'm dreading like August, September. That's usually when I do my next season's breeding project or breeding plans, because I got too much. I mean, some of my males I've been holding back. It's too much, and they're cool animals. I just don't have a need for them. And even as wide ranging as I'm willing to be with incorporating the super gravels, it's got to be the males are the ones that need to have. I mean, there's got to be a super gravel on one side or the other, or else I'm back to doing the, you know, the posh hats and the 66% and all that. So I'm going to have to really just buckle down and go through in August and September and say, well, these guys are, they don't make the cut, you know? So I'll have some either ready to breed males or proven breeder males coming loose this summer for sure.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I like your gravel path. I like it.
Thank you.
I like it.
It finally checked both boxes of not worked a whole lot, although more and more so. So there is I wouldn't say it's a wide open path, but there's a path. But again, I could just stare at them all day. They're just cool. Like at the end, we've all heard the expression, man, you got to love what you're doing. And those are cool to me. So I like it. I wish that I thought they did more in Pied, but I don't think that's a lot of work to get a super gravel Pied. That's like, it's okay. It's cool. No. I need a better response than that. I got to have a better feeling in my heart than that feeling, you know?
Well, you know, the beauty about a super gravel is that crazy pattern and stuff. And when, you know, you take a lot of the pattern away with Pied, you're kind of like,
Yeah.
Like you said, like,
I probably will try and see what a super gravel clown Pied would look like, just because the super gravel clowns are such a powerful pattern. I wonder if in Pied it could pay off on a clown Pied. And I only say that because I lucked into a 1.1 of clown Pieds this year. Some kind of cheating. I don't have to start at the base with it, so to speak. So we'll see on that. I'm not sure. I'll probably put the super gravel clown to that female and make some het Pieds with it. Visual clown het Pieds with the gravel. And I'll see. That'll be one in like the bottom left corner. We'll just see what happens over a couple of years if it's worthwhile or not. So
yeah, worst case scenario, you got some clown Pieds that are
It would be, you know, so I think it could be cool. And I do have Enchi in my super gravel projects. So if I could reduce the white and leave as much of the pattern with Enchi as possible, I don't know. It's just these are these rabbit holes that you go down at night staring at the ceiling. And then you're like, where did 3 hours of my life go? You know, I don't know. We'll see.
That's like that meme that you see out there with the couple laying in bed and she's like, I think he's thinking about other women. And he's like, I wonder what super gravel clown pied.
If I extended that another 2 years, I could probably get Enchi in there and maybe that might be okay, I guess. Jeez. I can hear Chris Eaton going, throw them all in the trash at him. Get rid of them all. I am though. I'll tell you the one other thing though, that really kind of hooks me on super gravel is I'll be the first to admit as it ages, it loses contrast and definition. I want to figure out how to make it keep that. I know that no ball python is going to look just as beautiful as it did as a hatchling, but we could do, I feel like there's an option, an opportunity to do better on adult super gravels than where we're at right now. I think it's a combination of hypo. I think Azantha could help it. I've seen some promising Ultramel work in that project. So I'm intrigued by it. That's a little bit of a lingering challenge as well that's in the back of my mind. Like how do I work at that color pattern and contrast mix and get it to stay looking pretty good as it ages? Cause that's always the knock we hear on all kinds of things. It looks nice now. Oh, bananas. If I hear it, it's great now. It's going to be brown one day. Oh, okay. Or Azantic people telling me that. So I want to work through that and figure that out.
All right. Yeah, man. I like leopard in that project. I mean, I know people don't like leopard as much anymore, but I still love it. And I think it looks good in super gravels, super asphalts, any of those yellow belly ALS combos or whatever. I think leopard does great.
They look phenomenal. And another one that I'll put on it too is spot nose, man. Spot nose, super gravel, clowns, even the het clowns look incredible. I came into some a 1.1, well, actually a visual female Powerball clown, super spot nose clown, visual girl, and a male super spot nose heck clown. So another super, very valuable, powerful breeders. I'm with you. I hear that spot nose is overworked, clown's overworked, leopard's overworked. Give me all of those in super gravel all day long, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
And Adam asked, yeah, I think blackhead could help. I think that super blackhead I was talking about earlier that I have, I think he'll get a little time in the project as well.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
If I could intrude as a guest host, I know it's the last segment here. We got to tighten this up.
Yeah, I mean, we're closing in on our hour mark right now.
I know. So, Shane, now that you're doing this podcasting world and you've been on both sides of the mic now, what's your feeling? What's your you've seen how the sausage is made, so to speak, now a little bit. What's your feeling on it? And you can – I was going to drag this out with a follow-up question, but I'll throw them both at you. Part B, what makes a good – for everybody listening, what makes a good podcast guest from the host's standpoint now? Hosts, that's a hard word to say.
Host. So it is different being a host. Man, it's a little bit more pressure because, you know, when I was the village bicycle for many years, I was just passed around and passed around. And it's pretty easy. You just show up and just answer questions.
Right. Get the promo right on your brand. Yeah, it's cool, right?
Yeah. So it is a little bit of grind. There's some thought behind it. You don't just ask a guest and come on willy-nilly, or I don't. Like, I'm doing research, thinking of intelligent questions and angles in case they were just on somebody's show the week before. You know, so you got to think of these angles to make it bring a little bit of something different, right?
And then that guy comes on your show and just busts through the wall like the Kool-Aid man. Like, he can just share everything.
Yeah, you know, just hoses you down. And then as far as like a guest that actually like interacts and like answers a question with other words other than yes or no, you know, like you want someone that like brings something to your question and elaborates on it and possibly not over elaborate, you know, there is a balance there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I call it a dance. Like I need someone that I dance with. Those are the best episodes. I'm not dragging them along and I don't have a leash pulling them back going, oh, look, man, maybe you need your own show, but in the meantime, we're here.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is, I'm still getting used to it, but me and Beach Bum Adam, you know, I've known him for a while, so I think we just have a good chemistry. You and I have a good chemistry. That's why I asked you to apply for the guest host position, and, you know, we went over your resume.
I'm so glad that it got accepted. I mean, the HR moment was really tough, but then you guys called with the offer. It's great. It's great. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, thank you. Those are good questions, though. Fellow co-host, you know? Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, because you've been at it for years, but I mean, it is a grind. And I think like when I was a guest on a lot of people's, I felt like a lot of other people, not a lot, there was a good amount of people though. They just ask you to come on and have no direction to go. And I've showed up and carried the episode because they had no direction.
Yeah.
So it does take two, and there is a dance. That's a good analogy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Shane, I'm happy for you. I will circle all the way back to where I started. I remembered like a joy in your voice when this was coming up and this was coming together. And I'm really happy for you to see it going. And I think it was off air when I told you this, but I think the look is great. Your background is great. It's better than mine. I just turn like a light in the corner on. So it gives me something to strive for and inspires me. And I'm happy for you. And like I say, thanks to Adam for letting me fill the seat this week. And it's really cool because I'm kind of one of the new guys in the industry. I know that even, you know, I feel like I've been at it a while, but I'm sort of a new guard kind of thing. It's cool to see this podcast revived in a new era of its own. And you're a part of that. You're a huge part of that. So I think that's cool too.
Yeah. And while we're giving shout outs, I can't forget Jay for making all the background that Adam was talking about. He makes the intros and outros that I can only cut in the improper time, but whatever. They're there. So thank you, Jay from Green Line. Thank you.
Very cool. Well, Shane, it's been a pleasure. We get to work together a lot. I always look forward to it. Thank you very much, man.
Yeah, thank you. And to everyone, next week, tune in. Herp and Harbins will be talking about a bunch of different stuff. And the regular Adam will be back. Thank you, proper Adam, for sitting in. We'll see you all next week.
Cheers, guys. Thanks.